And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca. I'm filling in for Steve the Leader Man this morning. Alongside me, I have Moore County's one and only Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this manic Monday right here in the Sandhills as we count down to the most important election day of our lifetimes. And we have on the phone with us one of the insiders with the North Carolina Republican Party. Matt Mercer is joining us. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning. Pleasure to be on with you.
You bet. So your boss is with Donald Trump and getting ready to rally in Raleigh today, I guess. Is that right?
Yes, sir. He is inside Jordan Arena over at the State Fairgrounds right now. I am on my way there, and he told me it's so loud there was nowhere for him to be able to dial in where he could hear him. So I take that as a sign we've got great enthusiasm, and I will join him here when I'm able to navigate through this Raleigh traffic.
Well, I'm shocked to hear that it's loud at a Trump rally, but nonetheless, we're happy that President Trump is on the ground in the Tar Heel State this morning, which I believe he will win decisively. So we wrapped up early voting in the state with north of 4.4 million in-person voters. We actually came close to matching the numbers in the pandemic-ravaged 2020 early voting, when the motivations for voting were entirely different for voting early. So what is your message to statewide Republicans now that we've banked all these votes? How do we close the deal here?
Yeah, Republicans in the state did something they have never done, beating the Democrats straight up in early voting. That has never happened before, but my message would be, look, that's great. We've got some votes in the bank, but this thing is not over. There will be over 1.2 to 1.7, maybe even close to 2 million voters who still have the ability to come out on Tuesday. It is not a lock by any means. We need as many Republicans and your unaffiliated friends who vote Republican as well to come out Tuesday so we can win the state for President Trump a third time.
This surge in independent, unaffiliated, whatever you want to call it, voters has been quite interesting to watch. In fact, I believe that when all was said and done, the category known as others in early voting exceeded both the Republicans and the Democrats. Do we have any way of knowing what percentage of those independents are on our side and voted and will continue to vote for Republicans up and down the ballot?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can look at that through data, through their past history, but also a lot of new voters, whether it's they're moving into the state from other places or they're registering for the first time. And a lot of times, you know, they have a partisan preference. They just don't know, or someone, when they fill out their registration form, it's kind of the default option, you know. And then what we want to do, of course, is educate them about why Republican policies are superior to those of the Democrats. And so we are able to bring, you know, a fair amount of those over. I think the story that we have been able to tell for years now is this historic rejection of the Democratic Party in North Carolina, where they have shed over 500,000 voters in the past 8 years who want to call themselves Democrats. So we feel very enthused about that, but also that work never stops, and we have a very important day Tuesday, but also for the future of the Republican Party in this state, continuing to share that message with as many folks as we can.
Absolutely. Hey, it was a beautiful thing to see the Trump Force 757 flying over Kinston yesterday on a beautiful, sunny autumn morning, and now you all are in Raleigh. I guess this is the last Trump stop in North Carolina today, is that right?
Yes, sir, it is his last event in North Carolina. He's going to go up and do two events in Pennsylvania and end the day in Michigan, which has been his tradition in 2016 and 2020.
Right, beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, the last question I have for you: What are your numbers telling you? What are your what is your data telling you about the ability of Republicans to maintain their super majorities here in the state House and state Senate? How is that looking?
Yeah, we certainly are. I hate to overuse the term cautiously optimistic, but we have a lot of seats that are in play, and we have a lot of different paths to do that. I will call out for some of your listeners. We have a very real chance to flip the Hoke and Scotland County seat in the Sandhills from Garland Pierce with Ralph Carter in that race. You saw J.D. Vance come to Rayford for that event, really generating a lot of interest. So we have, it's not just about keeping all the seats we have. We also have other opportunities, and so that's why it's so critical. Tell your friends, whether they're in Moore County or elsewhere, they have, if they haven't voted yet, Tuesday is their chance to ensure we continue to keep strong Republican leadership in the state.
That would be a seismic shift, especially in Hoke County, I think. So that's very encouraging. Matt, we thank you very much for joining us this morning. Keep the pedal to the metal out there. Give our regards from Moore County to the Trump team, and thank you very much for joining us on this Monday morning.
Yes, sir. We'll sleep on Wednesday.
Exactly. Best of luck.
All right. Well.
All right. Where else do you get? Where else do you get live reports from on the ground from the Trump rallies other than right here on this wonderful radio station, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I could have gave you a report on a Trump rally yesterday in Sanford, but I completely did not even know that it was going on. I completely missed it. I don't know why or how I missed the notification, but literally J.D. Vance and Donald Jr. were like 5 miles away from my house yesterday, and I completely missed it until I was going through trying to do some show prep here last night. I couldn't find anything of any, like, not necessarily substance, but new, you know, information other than the talking points that we've kind of gone over for the last, you know, 2 weeks or so. But I did come across something last night that was kind of very interesting to me, and I wanted to play this clip. So it's a clip of Ronald Reagan talking in a 1975 interview, talking about how raising taxes on businesses actually kind of has a reverse effect on the population. So when you listen to things that Kamala Harris says about wanting to have increased taxes on businesses and the wealthy so that they pay their fair share.
Yeah, and yet somehow bring down the cost of goods.
Right. So actually, listen to this. It's kind of interesting.
Today, they're taking almost half of every dollar earned in the United States. And most people don't realize it because the taxes are hidden in the so-called business taxes. You know, the politician that stands up and yells, oh, let's save the little man, let's tax business, and everybody yells hooray. But they haven't figured out that every tax on business is just a part of the cost of production. And the customer winds up paying it when he buys the product. It's a hidden sales tax. There's 116 of them in the suit of clothes that each one of us is wearing.
We're going to have to raise corporate taxes. And we're going to have to raise... We're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share. I am not mad at anyone for achieving success, but everyone should pay their fair share, and it is not right.
Yes. I mean...
Boy, what is more worn out than fair share? Honest to God.
I'm a middle-class child.
I mean, look what has happened to states like California and New York, where literally the top 1% of taxpayers have fled. And look what has happened to the tax base of those states. In other words, that fair share is the 1%, and the taxes they pay do matter greatly to the economic health of a state. And when you target them and when you demonize them, they go elsewhere. Who can blame them? But anyway, we started with a recap a little bit, and that was Matt Mercer, by the way, the communications director of the North Carolina Republican Party. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and I referred to his boss. That would be Jason Simmons, the chairman of the NCGOP, who was originally scheduled to join us and may join us again tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. But he is with the Trump team right now at the architecturally challenged Dorton Arena at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh for the final Trump assemblage of humanity, which I'm sure will be robust. So let's get back to the dust has settled now on the early voting. A comparison with 2020, this from the data analyst Michael Prusser, shows that the total number of early voters in both Georgia and North Carolina, Georgia had equally robust early voting. The total number of early voters in both is pretty close, and the total number of white early voters is nearly identical with 2020. The big difference, of course, is that, like Georgia, there is a couple of points drop in the black share of the vote. And that is certainly the case if you look at the final data. In 2020 early voting, the black vote was about 2% higher than it is this time around, which is really interesting. So you're looking at 20.6% in 2020 and 18.1% in 2024. I guess that could have something to do with the fact that Kamala Harris is not inspiring the black and minority vote as she might have been expected to. But then again, have you ever listened to what comes out of her mouth, for the love of Mike? So Michael Prusser says the final expected electorate in NC, including game day, election day voting, he's got it at Republican +1 to +3 in that range. Meanwhile, locally, in early voting in Moore County, you will see that the unaffiliateds have maintained a strong position, both in comparatively with 2020. They had the second highest number of early votes in Moore County, over 16,000. The Republicans, 20,573. That's 45.1% of the registered Republicans in the county. The Democrat vote limped in at 19%, down from 23% in early voting in 2020. So once again, I see a deflated Democrat voting base at this point. Also, our local data guru says that he expects a higher Election Day turnout than in 2020, but that may mean more Democrats turning out since they're behind from 2020. Anyway, I think the early voting is encouraging across the board, and thank you to everyone who got out. Many of you stood in lines to participate. I would say a small price to pay. If you have to stand in line on Tuesday, do it. Don't take any chances. You know, with the Democrats getting desperate, the machines might start going haywire at some point. So get in there and get your vote in the machine. Get your ballot in the machine. Remember to vote both sides of the darn ballot. Vote for all the races because they all matter in one way or another to the daily lives of our citizens. And 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., it won't be as dark in the morning because we had daylight savings time, the fallback episode on Saturday night into Sunday morning. And so you won't have to worry about stumbling around in the dark if you want to vote really early. And if you want to figure out where the heck do I vote, first of all, you have to identify your precinct. You do that at North Carolina Board of Elections. You look yourself up. You know, type in your name and your county, and they'll say, "Oh, here he is." They'll show that you have an address, and they'll show that you're registered, and they'll tell you what precinct you're in. And then from there, you bounce over to the Moore County Board of Elections website, and there, you find the directory of precincts. You scroll down to your precinct, and you see the address. For example, if you're like me and you live in Pinehurst A1, you will see that your voting occurs at Pinehurst Village Hall on the top of the hill in Magnolia Road. I believe another Pinehurst location is Pinecrest High School. Another Pinehurst voting location is the Fair Barn, and so on and so forth. But be sure to do that little bit of homework, because I tell you, every single voting cycle, when I'm standing there at early voting, volunteering and trying to annoy the Democrats across the sidewalk with their pathetic little limp, sort of cockeyed blue tent that sort of has one leg shorter than the other three, never fails. There's always several people who come walking right out after they've gone in and say, "I came to the wrong location." And that's frustrating for them because that's going to add another 15, 30, 45 minutes to their morning. And I hope they all continue to vote when that happens, but it's better to know where to go before you go.
Yeah, so true on that. And I think you said you need to go to the North Carolina Board of Elections. You can do it, the Moore County Board of Elections. You can get your address and stuff to your polling precinct straight on the North Carolina State Board of Elections. You know, when you do your voter search, it gives you all that information.
Good to know. Yeah, I always do the 1-2 step one, step two, but either way is fine.
Yeah, try to keep it there. So, since the time changed over the weekend, how are you feeling, Stephen? Did it affect you any?
Not really.
No,
I've never understood that those who profess trauma as a result of these one-hour time shifts. It's like, you know, people who fly from here to Chicago into the Central Time Zone, they're like, "Oh, I'm all messed up. I can't function.
Jet lag, yeah.
Yeah, I got jet lag for a 1.5-hour flight."
Yeah, I've never experienced that. It's a little bit difficult for me having young children.
Yes, they don't know what they don't know. Right?
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know. My 2-year-old decided she wanted to wake up at the crack of dawn yesterday because of the time change difference. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But
you know who else are clueless about that? Are dogs.
Yeah, definitely.
My dog was rip-roaring and ready to go, and he thought it was 6 and it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was 5 or whatever.
So. Yeah. They know the sunlight is what drives that. Anyways, over the weekend also, if you missed it on Saturday, if you didn't stay up that late, Saturday Night Live had Kamala Harris on in their opening cut scene there for a total of 1 minute and 30 seconds. It was a train wreck of a skit, to say the least.
Yeah,
but NBC has landed themselves in some hot water over this. As a matter of fact, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr said that NBC had violated the FCC's equal time rule by hosting Vice President Harris and not extending an offer to Trump or any other presidential candidate. This rule has been in effect for eons and eons. As a matter of fact, us here at WEEB, we have to follow that exact same rule and regulation. We have to extend opportunity for both Republican and Democrat alike to air on this station. But so amidst that backlash, NBC has come out and filed their equal time notice with the FCC. Basically, what that does is it allows any candidate to appear on their station within 7 days. Well, here's the kicker to that. The election is tomorrow. So, you know, it's kind of a backdoor into saying, oh, we did what we were supposed to do. We're not pandering to one side or the other. I call that BS. And specifically SNL and NBC didn't even advertise that Kamala was going to be on the show, because they knew if they advertised it, that they would land themselves in even deeper trouble. So, NBC, the legacy media, that they're all embedded with the Democrats and the left, and it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that shows you how sold out they are, how deeply corrupt they are, that they would run the risk of running afoul of the FCC in order to get that stupid little skit on, which, by the way, did nothing but make Kamala look
stupid,
just as empty and vacuous as she has always been. And the whole point of it was that she was supposed to be looking through a mirror at the actress who has been playing her role on Saturday Night Live quite well, actually. But the whole point of that role has been to mock her.
Yeah.
And now she's acting like SNL is her friend.
Yeah.
By the way, I am seeing that NBC Sunday Night Football allowed the Trump campaign to air a spot during its game coverage last night, a game that I did not watch. I was tired of watching football.
I must have missed that.
After the Detroit Lions trampled all over the Green Bay Packers, Brad was very happy about that.
Well, I had to watch the game last night because I needed Indianapolis to beat Minnesota so that Detroit had an extra game advantage. But now, unfortunately, Detroit and Minnesota are still kind of locked in this battle, even though Detroit has the tiebreaker because they beat Minnesota 2 weeks ago, I believe it is. So, but still, it's a tight race there in that NFC North division.
I only bring that up because, of course, as we all know, because he won't stop reminding us that Brad is a native of Michigan.
I try not to bring that up because that just discredits me from anything say further.
No, I would. You're not from Madison, Wisconsin, or Chicago, Illinois, or some other godforsaken Midwestern place. I think there's a lot more normal people in Michigan than most other Midwestern locations. Michigan and Ohio are two places I think I could actually live under some degree of comfort.
There's a lot of country folk up in Michigan. A lot of people don't understand it and don't realize it. You know, when I first moved here, gosh, almost 20 years ago, everybody was just kind of like, ooh, you're a Yankee, you're from the North, and blah, 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 you don't understand country. I said, as a matter of fact, I see more country people up in Michigan than I see down here in the South.
Country folk.
It's kind of crazy. But let me get back on SNL for a minute.
Yes,
because
please.
They had a hilarious skit in their weekend update about Biden.
Kamala Harris made the closing arguments in her campaign, delivering a speech with the White House in the background. And if you zoom in real close, you can see Joe Biden tied up inside. Also, during a Halloween event at the White House, President Biden playfully bit a baby who is dressed as a chicken. And then moments later, Commander, finish the job.
That would be Commander, the White House German Shepherd, of course.
The attack dog that's bit every single White House staffer.
Well, and Secret Service guys are terrified of the Biden dogs.
Listen, go out in general population and let your dog bite another person and see what happens to that dog. I can't believe that they haven't euthanized that dog for biting other humans, but, you know, it is the president's dog. It is the president, so they get away with a little bit extra stuff out there. But Biden has also landed himself in some hot water again over the weekend for making a comment about wanting to slap the rear ends of some people, namely Republicans. And I just don't understand why they keep letting him out of the basement. Gutfield had a comment on this on yesterday. It's actually kind of hilarious.
Kamala is keeping Grandpa Joe off the campaign trail and on the fairway. The man we trust with the nuclear codes can't be trusted by the Harris campaign to not screw up the race with 2 days to go. Joe canceling scores of campaign calls he had on his schedule and has effectively done campaigning for her. Today he went to a golf course in Delaware. And yesterday he managed one last stop in hometown Scranton just to joke about smacking Trump voters in the ass.
Some of you guys are tempted to think it's macho guy. I'll tell you what, man. When I was in Scranton, we used to have a little trouble going down the plot once in a while. For Green Ridge. But I'm serious. These are the kind of guys you like to smack in.
He's just such a pleasant American, isn't he? And he's the president of the United States, and he's biting children's feet and talking about physically assaulting people's backsides, and it's just
calling them garbage. You know, Jesse Waters, a little bit later in that clip, went on to say, you know, if Harris loses this election, her weekly breakfast, dinner, lunch, whatever it is that she has with Biden is going to be very awkward because Biden has negatively ruled the news cycle for like the last 3 or 4 days in this last week with his nonsense stuff. And I'm beginning to come around to thinking that he's intentionally doing it, you know, even though we called him mentally unstable and unfit and dementia and all these other things. I mean, the guy's got to be just absolutely beside himself that he's been tossed aside like, you know, a piece of garbage by the Democrat Party, especially the leftists like Nancy Pelosi. Well, I think we'll see what our differences are going to be come tomorrow. Anyways, coming up next right here on WEEB is going to be your weather. Make sure to come back and see us at 8:30.